Good morning, church. Hey, I first want to start with a little story. And for no other reason other than I got a good chuckle out of it this week. Guy started a zoo. And he said, okay, I'm going to charge $300 to get into my zoo. First day came, he had nobody there. A week goes by, he has nobody there. So the next week, he says, okay, I'm going to lower my price. I'm going to charge $200 to get into my zoo. Week goes by and nobody shows up. Third week comes and he's getting desperate. You know, he's got lions to feed, tigers to feed, giraffes to feed. He said, I'm going to lower my price to $10. A week goes by and nobody comes. So the following week he says, okay, I'm going to offer free admittance to my zoo. Well, all of a sudden, he's just got a crowd of people. People get into the zoo. He locks the gates behind him, lets the lions out. He says, it's $500 to get out of my zoo. And everybody paid it. Again, has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. I just chuckled when I read it. The title of the message today is Come and See. And I'm kind of excited about this because this is your invitation message. This is an invitation for you to start your relationship with Christ. Nowhere in it does it say, come and I'm going to make things easy. It doesn't say, come and you're going to be perfect. It says, come and see. And in this day and age, what do? There's times when people at work will say, man, you got to see this. Or last night, perfect example, I had my three daughters and Skylar in the house. We went to Mexican and had a good meal. And we got home and there was one, two, three, four, five people gathered around one small cell phone, saying, oh, you got to watch this, you got to watch this, it's hilarious. They're on TikTok. Oh, I'm sorry, these are real-life videos of Shelby. Because Shelby's getting married, and Lindsay's working on her maid of honor speech, and I think there may be a video involved, and it's probably not going to be good. But it was all videos of Shelby, and Shelby, I didn't watch any of them. I know you're perfect, just like me. Right. But that was what it was. And it, man, they were flocked around that phone and I didn't even get up because I didn't need another set of eyes flocking around that. I already knew they were making fun of Shelby, so it was okay. But then yesterday, Chris and I went to my great uncle's funeral and he lived to be 100 years old, 100 years old and 1 month. He died about 24 days after his 100th birthday. And I thought, you know, we're sitting there and the pastor did a really good job of saying everything that he had seen. And then it never really hit me. My Uncle Chuck never talked about his time in the military. He was in the military for 3 years from 43 to 46, I believe. He was in the Army. And he was stationed in India. And there were some stories yesterday that, well, I never knew that. Because Uncle Chuck was always just a smart guy that was so smart. All his kids were so smart. And you just never envisioned him being an adventurer. This man shot an elephant in India. He had told his kids about at the mess hall when he was in India, you would have to go to open the kitchen door, but you always stood behind the door when you opened it because there was a tiger in the kitchen every night and it would sprint out. And if you didn't, it would maul whoever opened that door. And I thought, man, you know, that's something to see. This dude had an amazing life. He lived through the Great Depression. He saw all of that. Then he did have a cell phone. And I'm like, huh. You know, he was 90 years old when he got a cell phone. What's he need a cell phone for? But he saw all that technology advance. So as we go into come and see, that's where I want you to go, is think about what Jesus offers. Think about what, and we're going to get into it here, but I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I just ask you to take me out of this equation, and just, Lord, we want each individual here to understand that all you're asking them to do is come and see. And you can come and see for eternity. Just the power and the love and the everything that you do for us every single day, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 1 today. And it's a familiar passage. I think I've talked about it before even. But it's one I want to focus on from this perspective of come and see. And we're going to start in, I actually told Julie 43, but we're going to start in 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said, who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. So there's a case where these guys follow Jesus, and Jesus says, "You know, you want to know about me? Come and see. Come and see." It's an invitation. He didn't order them. He didn't order them. He didn't make them. He does not make us. He says, "Yeah, Matt, come and see. I'll show you." He wants that relationship with you. In verse 43, Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. Peter's response was, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now, can you imagine, you ask the question, "What good can come from Nazareth?" And then Jesus said, "Here is a true Israelite where there is no deceit." It's a pretty cool statement. Verse 48, "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the tree? You will see greater things than that," he added. He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus doesn't ask a lot of us. Jesus said, come and see. He already knows me. He knew me when I was an infant. He knew me when I wasn't very good. But you know what? When I came to him, he just said, come on, come and see. Come and see. What is the risk? What is the risk that we're afraid of in starting our relationship with Christ? You know, what do we give up? Some of the disciples gave up their money, lives. Okay. But with any great choice, there's an option for great reward. And that's what these guys got. I'll take you back to verse 50. Jesus said, you believe in me because I told you I saw you sitting under a fig tree? You will see much greater things than that. Very truly I tell you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So that's a pretty cool set of scriptures, because in 43 through 46, there's an invitation to encounter. And you know, it's not anything spectacular. Jesus was not, he did not move heaven and earth right here. He just said, hey, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Our journey begins with an invitation from Jesus. It's hard to grasp the nature of these words, follow me. And sometimes we don't know what that means, because if Shelby tells me to follow her, man, there's going to be some pain involved. There's going to be some work involved. If Morgan asked me to follow her, I question it. You know why? Because my leg is going to get talked off the whole time. That's Morgan, and that's each of us have a blessing. Shelby is my worker bee. Lindsay is my thinker bee. Morgan is my talker bee. Okay, and we talked about this briefly in Sunday school. As the youngest child, sometimes we're brought along just so we're there. That was Morgan for a lot of her life, because Shelby would just get mad and do it herself. Lindsay would give me 8 reasons why she couldn't do it, and Morgan just wouldn't do it. They've all matured differently. They've all turned into fine young women. And Skylar, you get the thinker bee still. Sorry about it. But as we get started going to, you know, Shelby's getting married here in 13 days. And this is a conversation Nathan and I will have still is, man, you just got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Because sometimes Shelby's going to drag you on a path that's going to create a lot of work for you. You better follow so you can see. And, you know, there's risk with anyone we choose to follow. We talked about this in Sunday school too. We were talking about David and how he was anointed. And, you know, when Samuel came to anoint David, He didn't choose the most strapping, kingly looking guy, because David had 7 older brothers. David wasn't even at the feast. Jesse's like, dude, you got to go watch a sheep. You got to go watch a sheep. But Samuel said, hey, is there one more? And Jesse said, yeah, but he's just a boy. He's out looking at sheep. He said, come, let him come and let's see. Come and let's see. And God anointed him through Samuel that day. And we know David's story. He went on to be the greatest king of Israel. He killed a 9-foot Goliath with a couple stones. Again, I would have loved to have been in those days so I could see that. Because so many times we have to either be able to touch something or to see something. Okay? Faith is something that, man, you just have to take what's in here and you got to believe it. Okay? Faith is something that, and we painted the picture of the battlefield where the Israelites and the Philistines were, and you know, they were on two hills. On two hills, and down in the valley was Goliath. Down in the valley was Goliath, and that's where David went and met him. Guys, so many times in our lives, when we're asked to follow, to come and see, sometimes it's just about taking that invitation and go on. And this is one of those times. Jesus is not, our Lord and Savior, the guy that died on the cross, is not asking you to come and be a disciple. He's not asking you to come and be a preacher. He's not asking you to come and go overseas and be a missionary. He's asking you to come and see the relationship I want to have with you. It's no simpler than that. It's no harder than that. Now, when we are in our relationship with Jesus, sometimes we see things that we consider miracles. Hopefully we all have seen a miracle. They happen all the time. You know, Les and I talked a couple times this week, and one of the times we talked about miracles. And it's not because we talked about it, it's not because we believed it, but there are some things that are happening in this world today that are nothing short of a miracle. And God just wants you to come and see. Because when we become a Christian, we look at those miracles from a different perspective. As a non-Christian, I look at somebody that hasn't walked for 5 months and is able to walk, and I think, man, God did something there. But as a non-Christian, I look at that and say, man, medical technology is wonderful. Look at what that doctor did. Man, as a Christian, yeah, medical technology is great. Technology is great. But our God is the same as He was 2,000 years ago. He was performing miracles 2,000 years ago. He's performing miracles today. Why, in verse 48, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael was astounded by this revelation, and he acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God right then and there. Nathanael's eyes were opened. You know, as non-Christians, we just go through and we're seeing stuff. But when we take that invitation to start our relationship with Jesus, man, our eyes are wide opened. Okay? Do you ever wonder why Adam and Eve walked around sinless? Or walked around naked and didn't know they were naked? Because they didn't have sin. And when they got sin in their life, their eyes were opened. Guys, we have sin in our lives. And there's only one way to get rid of it. And that's the guy that died on the cross. And when we do, we will see everything clearly. That doesn't mean it's going to be peaches and unicorns and butterflies all the time. But it opens our eyes to the miraculous. It goes beyond the realm of natural realm, allowing us to perceive the divine intervention in our everyday lives. You know, last week I was driving, and I haven't shared this with Chris. I haven't shared it with anybody. But for whatever reason, I ran my route differently that day, and I was on a road I had never been on before. And there was a car broke down alongside the road, and it was an older gal. Her car wasn't broke down. She was out of gas. But I don't travel that way. Okay? And it was 2 miles to the Duke station. She had an empty gas can in her car, which I don't know why you carry an empty gas can in your car, but unless you're on your way to get gas. She was out of gas. She had the gas can. She said, "Would you mind going to the Duke station and getting gas?" No. But see, to me, that's God's divine intervention, because I don't go that way. And I mean, was it the end of the world? Was it a miracle? No, this woman was not going to die along the side of the road because it was 60 degrees out. But it was, to me, the miracle and the divine intervention was, why did I go that way? I do the same route every single week, and I have never, I haven't traveled that road in 3 months. But that day, I was on that road. That's not a Matt thing. That's not a Matt thing. That's a God thing. And there's other things in my life that I know are God things. You know, the fact that I'm here in front of you today is a God thing because, man, my butt wants to be back in the last row of the seat, being comfortable, be the first in, first out. Okay? But that's a God thing. God started working on me and said, "Matt, you can do this." And I said, "No, I can't." He said, "Yes, you can." And I don't know if you get anything out of this, but trust me, I get more out of preparing a message than what you get out of sitting in the seat. I guarantee it. Because he opens my eyes and I see what God is doing at work in my life. So that's seeing the miraculous. Number three, the promise of greater things in verses 50 and 51. And we've already talked about it. He said, "You very truly I tell you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Can you even imagine what that day is going to be when the angels come down and they carry him back again? It's already happened. The disciples saw him. He descended into heaven. But he's going to open those heavens again, and he's going to come and he's going to lead us back into the heavens for the final time forever. I mean, I got a lot of things I want to do in my life still. You know, I want to see that first grand. I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my girls all married. I want to see them happy in marriage. I want to have grandbabies and be able to say, "Okay, here's 10 pounds of chocolate. Eat it while you're here at grandma's house. And then you're going home." Mountain Dew, yes, you can have a whole 2 liter. Because you're going home. Those are all things I look forward to. And we talked about it yesterday at Chuck's funeral. The things that I was able to do at his house that I was not able to do. And my mom and dad were there, but you know what? They never, ever crossed Aunt Iris and Uncle Chuck. If I wanted to have 14 cookies and no Thanksgiving dinner, then that's what I did. Because that was part of Uncle Chuck's life. So we get to see all those things. The invitation to come and see is an invitation to encounter, witness, and witness the miraculous, and partake in even greater things. Understand that God's not done with you when He shows you one miracle. He wants you to be around for the long haul so that you can see even greater things. And I tell you, the greater thing is when everybody we know and see is in that charge into heaven at the end of the days. And this is not a, a relationship with God is not like a one-time deal where you do it once, you don't ever have to do it again. It's a journey of a lifetime. It's about following Jesus, sharing Jesus, and glorifying Jesus with our lives. So as I wrap up, I just want to draw some attention to the as many times it said it in the passage, the repetition of seeing, the word see, saw, seeing. So we understand how important it is for us to really see the relationship. Philip saw Jesus for who He really was. Nathanael couldn't see how anything good can come from Nazareth. Philip invited Nathanael to see for himself. Jesus saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree. Nathanael's eyes were open to see who Jesus really was. Jesus tells His disciples that they will see greater things, and they will probably see prophecy come to life before their very eyes. So maybe you've been having a hard time seeing Jesus in your life because maybe we're looking at the wrong things. You know, and here's what I mean by that. If man, all we're looking at is all the hills we got to climb and all the battles we got to fight, we're never going to see Jesus. Okay? We need to be thankful that God puts those hills in our lives and those battles for us to fight, because then we can see Him come to work. You know, the old, and we've all seen it, some of us may have it in our home, the old footprints thing. That's the best thing I'm going to leave you with is, you know, the footprints, the poem. It's, you know, I was walking, I was going through all this stuff in my life, and God, you weren't here, and why did you leave me? He said, you know, clearly there's only one set of footprints through the sand. And God's response is, I know. That's when I was picking you up and carrying you the whole way. Guys, and that's what Jesus wants to do. That's what God wants to do for you today. And if you have not ever started your relationship with Jesus Christ and started your relationship with an understanding of God, our Father, and the guy who died on that cross for you and was beaten for you, and you're going to get more of that in the next few weeks as we do Palm Sunday, we do Easter Sunday. If you have questions about that, if you can't see how it all adds up, today's your day. You know, if you've never been baptized and you want to start that relationship today and you want to be baptized into the brotherhood of Christianity, don't wait. Don't wait. Today is the day that you can see your future with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by making that commitment to Him. He's here. He's saying, hey, come and see. What do you do with that invitation? I'm going to wrap us up in prayer, then we're going to sing a song of invitation. We'll be here if you need prayer. If you want to start that relationship, whatever it looks like for you, we are here. We aren't any closer to God than you are. We're just three broken sinners that know Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for the simple message of come and see. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts so that we can see our full potential with you as our leader and as our centerpiece of our life, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.